Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Okay, well, this morning, the God of Miracles, this is session 8, entitled The Helper Helping Us Find Things. And so I love this aspect of the Holy Spirit. I am so grateful for who He is in the most present way, in the most real way in our lives. And again, so much of this series, what I'm trying to do is get us to view miracles in a little bit more down-to-earth context. I can't express how much my heart leaps over the Red Sea parting, but it's difficult for me to relate that into my life because I've never been in a moment where I needed to see an entire ocean part before. And what we're doing in this series is really talking about miracles, trying to get it down into the daily context level. Like, how do we engage God and see Him do things in our day-to-day? Now, as we do that, I want to do the best that I can to set us up for success. And so I'm kind of giving some disclaimers in some of these sessions because I don't want us having an unrealistic view of how this works. I want us stretched. I want us believing. But I also don't want us thinking that because I'm sharing all these stories, this is how it is every time, all the time, every situation, always, because that's not the case. In fact, I want to, you know, just even give kind of like the frequency of these experiences. You know, I'm kind of like in this series, I'm kind of telling like nearly every miracle that's ever happened to me. I mean, not all of them, but I'm telling like a ton of them all back to back. And you could actually get the wrong picture by hearing these stories back to back. Oh, that must just be how it is every day over at the Stroop household. It's not. I mean, we have a lot of prayers we pray for that don't happen or don't happen the way we thought or don't happen when we wanted. And that's part of the deal too. And so I don't want for you to get discouraged that if you're praying for miracles, specifically, you know, for God to do this specific thing and it doesn't happen, I don't want you to think, oh, well, I guess it's not working like it's working in all these stories Brad's telling. There are so many occasions where I'm doing the exact thing that worked yesterday, that I saw the miracle, that I'm doing the exact same thing today praying for this other thing and it doesn't happen. And so I want to be real about that so that we don't get a wrong perspective. And then also, I want to give us a little bit of perspective about the weathering of the disappointments. You know, it's not like everything just always works. I mean, I want to just share, like, my car breaks down. My air conditioner goes out. You know, we've had plenty of times in our household where the finances have been super tough, super tight. You know, a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was now, I almost died when I had my appendix rupture and I didn't know it. I mean, it's like, bad things still happen. You know, I'm not trying to make a point that, like, hey, if we live in this miracle thing, nothing bad ever happens. All the other stuff still happens. Life still happens. I'm trying to give us a perspective that we can have a lot of engaging times with God where we see Him break in and do wild things in our life so that we have stories of good, not just stories of bad. We've all got stories of the car broke down. You know, I had the problem. I had to go to the hospital. We've all got those, but do we all have miracle stories? Let's get some miracle stories. Let's bring some balance back into the force here, folks. Let's see the Holy Spirit engaged in our lives in ways that are real and powerful. And so, anyway, I just wanted to make sure that, like, you get the point. I'm not trying to paint a picture in this series that life is perfect and yours can be perfect. That's not what I'm after at all. I'm after there's a whole lot of miracles God wants to do that we're not engaging Him to see Him do, and He's not doing. And we could actually press in and see those things. So that's kind of my point. He responds to our faith. I want to give you another verse here on faith, Matthew 21, 21 through 22. And this is Jesus talking about a tree and talking about a mountain. And He says this in Matthew 21, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. That's that point I want to make, is the believe. whatever it is that we ask for in prayer. And really, this is the connection point with the disappointments I was just talking about. It is so normal, and we have to fight it. If we want to see God moving miracles in our life, we have to fight through this problem or this obstacle. It is so normal when you've experienced disappointments. You prayed for the miracle, it didn't happen. You prayed for the miracle, it didn't happen the way you wanted. You prayed for the miracle, it didn't happen in the time frame you wanted. It is so normal for that disappointment to burn your soul if you're not careful. And then you refuse to pray for miracles in the future, and that's wrong. You need to press past that disappointment. That's really the reason I was sharing about the disappointments. It wasn't solely so that you could see a window into my life that I have them, because the other part of the testimony that I've got is I've got plenty of disappointments, and I refuse to let those stop me from pressing in for miracles. And that's really where I think Jesus, in my opinion, I think that's one of the points that Jesus was talking about here is, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt. The do not doubt, can I tell you what doubt comes from? Doubt comes from negative experiences. Doubt comes from no experience at first, if you have no experience, and then it also comes from negative experiences. That's what fuels doubt. And so I want to tell you, you cannot afford to let disappointments keep you from pressing in for miracles, or you won't have them. And you'll have the theology right, but you won't have the stories. It is so normal when we experience a disappointment to have to fight through that. What I want to encourage you to do is don't give up in the fight. You must overcome. God will give you the grace if you'll just keep pressing forward. If you'll keep pressing through, you'll get grace to believe again. You just imagine the disciples when their Jesus, their Messiah, their King, their leader just died. He's dead. They're like, you're God and you're gone and you died on a cross. You just imagine the faith crisis that they're in. And we've got to press through the disappointments and believe again in the living God. And so, boom, then he rises from the dead and they go, oh my gosh, I can't believe. I mean, Jesus even says, you have little faith. You know, it's like we have got to be those that press past the disappointments, press past, it didn't work, it didn't happen, it didn't work for me like it worked for the other person. You've got to press past that. And if you don't, that's where you'll get stuck. We've got to have this reach in our hearts. It's imperative that we have the reach. And the reach never stops reaching. You know, in every season, that reach might look different, but you never want to have a season of your life where you've just settled in and you're no longer reaching, because it's when we press past and we reach to believe, that's when we get to see God move again and again. And so it's just so important. I want to give us all that as the setup here, because I have a lot of stories that I'm telling, but I've got equal number, if not more, of those deep disappointment moments where I was like, oh, I really wanted to see you do this. I really thought this was going to happen this time. I really thought it was going to happen in this timing. And the wrong lesson to learn is God isn't real. God doesn't answer prayers. Faith doesn't work. Those are wrong lessons. Those are lies from the enemy. And they're lies that scream very loud in our human spirit when we experience a disappointment. We've got to press past them and believe fresh again tomorrow that God is a God of miracles and God does stuff. This is a huge lesson. Some of you are at the very early side of this thing where, you know, I was telling you, doubt comes from lack of experience and it comes from bad experiences. Some of you right now are on the front end of that. You don't have any experience. You've never seen God do a miracle, but you haven't seen him not answer any prayers. And I'm just thinking about my sweet daughter, and it's like, she didn't have any stories where it didn't happen. She's only got one where it did. Like, man, she's in a great spot. That's a really sweet spot to be in your heart. Some of you are on that front end, but all of you who keep going, you are going to have to face the bad experiences, the disappointments. And you've got to overcome. Otherwise, you nullify the kingdom. You nullify the word. And so I want to give this as a strong point of exhortation as we're pressing in for miracles. You're going to have to press through those disappointments and continue to believe what the word of God says, even over and above your experiences. Okay, have I beat that horse good enough? Is that horse down and dead? Okay, good. Got it. Okay, I want to introduce you to the helper. I love the Holy Spirit as the helper. This is so much fun. I can't believe he called himself this. It's just so much fun. Okay, well, let me start with the God who knows all things. So, because again, today, our direction is going to be about the Holy Spirit helping us find stuff, okay? So I want to talk about the God who knows all things. I mean, that's a revelation that we at least know in our hearts. You know, God knows everything. He's omniscient. You know, he made everything. He created language. He created anything that is. He knows everything. He knows all stuff. But let's get the word of God kind of washing over us a little bit. Let's put up those verses, starting with Psalm 94, verse 11, and then Daniel 2 and Luke 8 and whatever else I got on there. Psalm 94, 11 says, "The Lord knows all human plans." All human plans. So if it's a plan and it's human, he knows it. He also knows all animal plans, too, just for fun. He knows all human plans. So it's important that we note that God understands the schemes of men. He knows what people do, what people want to do. He knows. Also, Daniel 2, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness and what and light dwells with him. He reveals deep and hidden things. So deep hidden things, he also knows those things. God is fully aware of deep hidden things. Luke 8, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. This is Jesus making it clear that God knows all the hidden details. If it's a hidden item, a hidden desire, a hidden person, a hidden whatever, God knows where that thing is. He knows it. Nothing in all creation, this is Hebrews 4, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. I love this. This is so good. This is so important because as we're going to go on this journey this morning about talking about God helping us find lost stuff, hidden stuff, stuff that we don't know where it is, we can bank on the fact that nothing anywhere in any part of creation is hidden from his eyeballs. It's all within his sight. He sees it all. Now, you know, we look to God as the God of power. We look to God as the God who can heal. Let's look to the God who knows where all the hidden stuff is, where all the lost stuff is, because he's the same God. And his eyes are really bright, and he can see everything. Okay, so let's combine that with this beautiful thing where the Holy Spirit is self-identified, or Jesus identifies the Holy Spirit, as the helper. The helper. Okay, look at this. John 14, 16 through 18. I'm reading out of the King James Version here. I will pray, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Look at that. Hebrews 13, 6 says similarly, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I want to talk about this for a second. The helper. This seems like such a humbling position. I mean, what a servant-hearted posture for God who created everything to call himself the helper guy, the servant friend, the guy who will help you unstack chairs, you know, the helper who will help you fix the thing, or the helper? That is so far beyond my comprehension. That God would go so low as to help humans do stuff. I mean, it's like me going into the backyard and helping ants with a tweezer move grains of sand. It's like, hi, little ant, I'm helping you today. You know, moving the little grains of sand to help them build their little ant mound. It's that crazy and bigger. God created everything, and yet he calls himself the helper. Okay, now I just want to bank on this idea. Put a couple thoughts together here. He sees everything, and he identifies himself as the helper. Let's remind ourselves of what James 4:2 says. We all know it. We brought it up a couple times in this series already. You do not have because you do not ask God. I mean, he sees where the hidden stuff is. He sees where the lost stuff is. That thing that you're missing, that thing where you don't know where it is, he sees it. We don't have it because we didn't ask him to help us. He's willing to help us, and he sees all things. I want you to increase your asking. I mean, if we don't get anything else out of this series, would you just talk to God more? And would you ask him questions and ask him for help? I mean, he's self-identified as the helper. We're not, like, trying to get him to do something he doesn't want to do. He made himself known as the helper, and he knows everything. He knows where everything is. We don't have because we don't ask. I wonder How true. I wonder if, I don't even know that I'd want to see the video, actually. But I wonder if we could see in our lives how many things God would have done if we would have just talked to him about it. Like, how many times would God have given us the miracle, shown us the thing, helped us with the situation, if we would have just said, God, help me, dot, dot, dot. Like, I wonder how many hundreds or thousands or millions of times we don't have because we don't ask God. I don't want to die as the guy showed up before the throne where God's like, you know what? You just didn't ask God. I could have done a whole lot more in your life, but you never talked to me about it. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be you. I want for this series to rattle us awake that we don't have because we don't ask the helper to help us with stuff. And here's the beauty of it. I just so love this. When I ask God to help me with something and then I see him do it, not only do I get I get help, I get drawn into intimate friendship with him. Every time I'm just blown away. I'm like, I'm more elated that he responded, that he interacted with me. My heart is more alive by the fact that God showed up than even that he gave me the thing. Half the time, whenever I get the thing, I just sit there and I'm like almost in tears, about to weep over the fact that he did it. Not even the fact that I got the thing I needed or wanted. I'm just like, I can't believe you would do this. So it's actually Jehovah sneaky trying to trick us into relationship. Because as we ask him for stuff, he touches our heart with the bigness, with the wow factor of a God. Again, that me going in the backyard and helping an ant. You just imagine that ant going, thanks, man. You know what I mean? Like it's so unbelievable that the God of so big, so wild, so powerful would love me, would help me, would hear me, would talk to me. It's mind-blowing. So really, while I want us to engage because he's a God of miracles, he's a God of intimate friendship, and every time you see him answer you, when you cry out for help and he does it, it stirs your heart to love him more. You wind up more in obedience that week because you saw God do a miracle and you're just like tenderized over how near he is and watching and caring and loving. And well, if he answers prayer, then probably the rest of the Bible is true too. And it's just so good, so much overflow and ramification. So I want us asking God. I don't want to be a church that doesn't have because we didn't ask. I want us to ask. And so let's engage the helper. Okay, well, now I'm going to give some stories. Some of these stories, oh my gosh, they're just so near and dear to my heart. Okay, the Holy Spirit helping me find things over the years. And again, I want to give a lot of the little ones, the ones that are, I don't know, just seemingly, you know, not, you know, it's not Red Sea parting stuff. It's just normal daily activity, just daily life, because I think that's really how God mostly wants to interact with us. Mostly. We're going to have a few of those big moments where God did the thing that was just unbelievable. But I don't know that we're going to have 1,000 of those in our life. I mean, we're going to have one every other couple of years. I don't know how often. But we can have interactions with him that are miraculous all the time. So that's what I want to share. Okay, now, I want to date myself here a little bit. I want to talk about finding Bible verses. This used to drive me nuts, okay? When I first came to know the Lord and I was really digging into the Word, I was spending a lot of time in the Word. There was no such thing as apps or Bible Gateway or any other stuff that you can find Bible verses now in an easy way. All I had was a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And while that's helpful, my gosh, it was a lot harder to use and would take forever by comparison to just, you know, going onto your little Bible app now. You put in one word and boop, you got everything you need in like half a second. It didn't used to be that way. And so the Holy Spirit used to be my Bible gateway. Because I'd be thinking about a verse or a concept, and I don't know how many times this happened. I'd be sitting there, I'd be like, man, what was that verse? Where was that at? And I'd be looking through the Bible. I just couldn't find it. I'd get out the Strong's Concordance, and I would just get it wrong every time, like the wrong word, or I couldn't figure it out. I just got so frustrated. I don't know how many times. I don't mean it happened 100, but it probably happened 10, where I'd just get so frustrated. I'd be done looking in the Exhaustive Concordance. I'd be done, and I'd just go, Holy Spirit, right now, I'm in the middle of a Bible study. I'm trying to read your word. I'm trying to find your words. Tell me where the verse is. Like, where in the world is that verse? And I would just immediately, like right in that moment, either get an impression or get a Bible address dropped into my mind, or I would just like go, okay, well, I'm just going to open. There were a couple times, I'm not even kidding. I'm just going to open it. I believe it's going to be on that page. There were a couple times it was actually on the page. I just opened the Bible and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just did this. He's able to do abundantly more than you can ever ask or imagine. He would help me find Bible verses. I don't know that it gets any more practical than that, God helping you find God's word. But maybe we've never had those experiences because we never asked. We never tried. But I was in those moments all the time. I mean, all the time, where I was trying to find Bible verses, and the Lord would help me. And again, his helping me get there came a number of different ways. But frequently would I see God do that for me, help me find a Bible verse. It was awesome. Well, just like you, I lose my keys. You know, and anybody out there is like, I don't lose my keys. You're a liar. You've lost your keys. I know it. We all lose our keys sometimes. And typically what I've done, probably same as you, is I search everywhere. I look up here. I look in the weirdest places, like under my pillow in my bed. Like, I don't know how it would get there, Riker. That's how it would get there. But I look everywhere, and eventually I'm like, I'm so frustrated. I don't know where my keys are. And, you know, I don't have a little find my key fob or whatever, you know. And so there's many times, though, where I'll get to that point and I'll stop and I'll go, oh, yeah, I remember. The Holy Spirit's a helper and he sees everything in creation. The Holy Spirit knows exactly where my keys are right now. He knows right now where my keys are, or phone, or pick of something, okay? There have been many times. I mean, I don't know how many. This one's probably too countless to measure. I don't know what word I'm trying to say there. Too numerous to count. And there have been so many times where I'll stop, and again, I'm normally frustrated by this point, and I'll go, Holy Spirit, show me where my keys are. And I'll get a picture in my head of next to a cabinet or on the floor next to the trash can. I'll just get this little picture, and I'll go over there, and sure enough, that's right where the keys are. Now, there have been a bunch of times I've done that, and I got nothing. I'm like, oh, or, you know, I was like, well, maybe they're here, and I just start giving more ideas, and I'm not even listening to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he'll tell you. I want to encourage you. Every time you lose something, ask the Holy Spirit. What if 1 out of 10 times, because how many times do you lose something? I mean, we all lose something. Half of us are losing our mind. Maybe the Holy Spirit will help you find that too. We're all losing stuff all the time. What if 1 out of 10 times? What if 2 out of 10 times? The Holy Spirit would actually show you where the thing was. But he doesn't show you ever because we don't ask. We don't have because we don't ask God. Let's ask him where the lost thing is. I've seen him do that so many times. Okay, I got to share this because this was really funny. I can remember, I don't remember the time frame. It might have been 10 years ago or 8 years ago, something like that, probably 10. And I was sharing this story with some friends in a Bible study over in Flower Mound. And I was sharing this story, and I was like, man, you know, the Lord will show you where stuff is and all this. So I was sharing this, and like the Holy Spirit speaks and that kind of stuff. And it was like the next day or that week, one of my friends from that Bible study, he calls me. And he's like, hey, mister, I could hear where God put the stuff, you know, I need you to deliver. I was like, what is going on right now? He goes, I'm calling you because I've lost my phone and I don't know where it is. He says, we pray, we're not hearing anything. Where is the phone, man? You said that God could do this. Where is the phone? And I'm like, okay, now I'm like on the spot. This is an uncomfortable spot to be in because he's calling me. He's got faith that God's going to show me. He's not calling to prove me wrong. He's calling to prove me right, you know? And I'm like, okay. I go, well, God, where is it? And immediately, as soon as I pray, I see this like little picture in my head of his son hiding his phone. His son was, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 at that time. And I just see this picture of his son hiding the phone. And I go, bro, have you asked your son if maybe he did something with the phone? That's about all I said. And he's like, no, let me ask him. He's like, hey, you know, did you do something? No. He's like, no, he said he didn't do anything. I go, okay. I go, well, I don't know what to do with that. I'll just tell you, that's the picture I saw. I saw the picture, your son hiding the thing. I'm not accusing your son. That's a picture I saw in my head. I don't know. I got nothing. He's like, all right, well, all right, thanks anyway. So he hangs up. 2 days later, he calls me back. And he goes, you're not going to believe this. And I was like, your son hid the phone? He goes, my son hid the phone. He was mad at me for disciplining him earlier. He hid the phone to get back at me. And then when I asked him if he hid the phone, he lied to me because he didn't want me to have the phone back. We didn't find it for 2 days later. I found it under his pillow in his room. He hid the phone. And I was like, he said, how did you know that? I go, I didn't really know. I just had like this little picture. I mean, what's the harm in going and looking? You know, what's the harm in saying it aloud to you? What's the harm? And so I just want to even encourage you guys, if you just get the lightest impression, act on it. What harm is there? You know, you think your keys are by the trash can. Go look by the trash can. What harm is there? You're wrong. So what? You get it the next day. Do you think it's by the trash can? Go look by the trash can again. Like, what harm is there in that? Sometimes you're going to find your keys. And so anyway, I thought that was so fun. Okay, another one. This had so much practical help to me. I worked in an office environment for a few years. And I was this office manager. I think I told you guys a little bit about that in a previous season session. But for that season, I was, working on the computer a lot and all that stuff. And there were many times as like the office manager that I would either lose or couldn't find, whatever the right word is, some information on the computer. That's like that guy's contact information or that email or, you know, I'd lose a copy of a check, or I'd lose something in kind of the digital world there on the computer, and I couldn't find it, and I would look and look and look, and then I would stop, and I would ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me where this is on the computer. And there were so many times where one way or the other, he'd like, it just in my spirit, I'd like almost see the file tree on the computer and like feel like where I'm supposed to go look, and I'd go look, and there it would be. Why? Because God cares. God cares about the business. God cares about my job. God cares that I'm talking to him. And I would sit there in the middle of work at just a normal, you know, work environment, have an encounter with God. And yes, I found the thing. I got the contact information. I'd find the email address. But so much of that was just the Lord, like, I see you. I love you. I'm the helper. I'm real. I can show you where stuff is. I'm God. I'm there with you. That was so profound to me so many times. And I just want to give that to you as the most practical gift. Like, he can help you find stuff. Physical things, files on a computer, contact information, he can help you with stuff. He can, Bible verses, he can help you. We don't have because we don't ask. There'd be times where I'd find physical things at work, where, you know, something was missing, and I'd say, you know, Lord, where is this thing? Same kind of concept. There were so many of those stories. When I say so many, I don't mean 200, but I mean like five of these and six of those and three of those stories. You put it all together, and it just felt like, oh my gosh, the Lord will actually help me with stuff. And so I want to give that to you because all of you have environments, busy mom at home with all the kids, like those kids are going to run off with stuff from time to time. Like, where is it? Ask the Holy Spirit. You know, you got all your paperwork at work, and it's like all the files, whether physically on the desk or on the laptop or, you know, on your hard drive or whatever, and you can't find it. Like, ask the Holy Spirit. He can help you. And the way he can show you is 100 different ways. I mean, there were times where there was like one specific time where I was asking the Lord to show me something, and there was like a delay on the a file opening. You know, you can sometimes there's like a little lag in, you know, the computer or whatever. And I had clicked on a file at one point, but it hadn't opened. And I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, show me where the thing is. And it's some minutes later, and all of a sudden, the file opens on the screen. It was the thing I was looking for. I mean, he can do the craziest stuff to help you find stuff. Let's just engage him. Okay, but I got to share my favorite story. This one is going to seem so dumb, and it is one of my favorite God stories in my entire history with God. Because I couldn't believe the way that he did it. You guys remember last week I was talking about axe head prayers. I was big on that passage in 2 Kings about the axe head floating. I was reading it. I was teaching it to people. I was trying to practice that as best I could. And remember, in that specific story, the axe head was borrowed. The axe was borrowed, and the head flew off. And when the young prophet comes to Elisha, he says, Lord, it was borrowed. And that line, I don't know why that line has just stuck with me. That phrase has like layers and layers of meaning for me. Lord, it was borrowed. And sometimes I'll use that to the Lord. I'll say it in the most weird context. He knows what I mean, you know? So anyway, I'm helping this friend of mine in that season. I'm helping him do a remodel project on a house. He had bought a house and he was refurbishing it or refinishing it or whatever. And he was having me hired out to do you know some different tasks. This was a little bit after I was able to start receiving compensation. Okay, because not all of those early days was that the case. So anyway, I'm working for him and I'm in the backyard and I'm working on maybe it was the fence. It was something outside with wood, either the fence or maybe some trim work or something. And I was using a power drill. And backstory, I think I told you guys this before. In that season of time, I was like really clumsier than normal. I was like more forgetful than normal. Of course, I was fasting a bunch too. That probably didn't help. I felt like I was a burden on so many people because I kept forgetting things that were like normal things. I would lose people's stuff. I just looked so irresponsible, and I was really trying. Like, I wasn't trying to be irresponsible. I felt like the Lord, in a lot of ways, was allowing that season to really be a humbling season for me. The reason I say all that, I've already lost, I think, two of this friend of mine's tools. Like, where'd the hammer go? Oh, dude, I don't even know. To this day, I don't know where that hammer went. I'd already lost a couple of his tools, and I feel like such a klutz and just dumb, and I'm feeling, oh, shame. Lord, I don't want to lose my friend's stuff. And I'm in the backyard, and we're working on whatever wood it was. Again, I think maybe door frames, or, you know, the trim work or something. And I'm in tall grass, and I've got a drill, the power drill, and I need to change out the drill from the screwdriver bit to the drill bit. You can kind of imagine, you know, pull the thing out, put the other thing on. Okay, so I do that, and I put the drill bit. What I think I put the drill bit in, and I think what I'm doing is I'm putting the screwdriver part in a little like clip compartment on the side of the drill that's meant to hold it so that you don't lose it. I believe that I did that. So now it's a few minutes later, and I look, and the bit's gone. It's not there. And I'm in the high grass. I'm holding the drill when I realize this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not on there. And I look in the grass, and it's not in the grass. And I go, Lord, oh my gosh. I know it sounds so dumb, but I just don't have it in my heart to go to my friend and say, I've lost one more thing, even a 60-cent drill bit. Like, I just don't have it in my heart. I go, Lord, it's not okay. It's not okay. I need you to give me this drill bit back. Now remember, I'm holding the drill, okay? I go, Lord, I need you. I'm scouring through the grass and everything. I've looked everywhere. You know, I've stood up. I've looked down. I'm on my knees. I've done everything. And I put the drill down, and I'm going to go back in, and I'm about ready to tell my friend that I've lost his drill bit because I actually can't keep moving on the project he gave me unless he gives me another, you know, Phillips head, you know, drill bit or whatever. And I'm just so mad at myself, And I'm walking over there, and before I get to, like, the house, I feel like the Holy Spirit says, go back and see. And I was like, really? Really? I go back, and I've put the drill. Now, this is after frantically looking through the grass, looking all over. I'd put the drill down right there on the concrete, kind of, you know, face down, so it's not sitting up like, you know, this. It's down on its side, okay? I go over there, and the little screwdriver drill bit that I'm missing is standing up on the side of the drill, facing straight up. It was not there a minute ago. It's impossible for it to be there. There is no way in any set of circumstances in any universe that could have gotten there except that the Lord sent an angel or something. The Lord got the drill bit back. I am telling you, that is one of the most precious stories to me of any story. I mean, I've got stories where the Lord did this and it was a bunch of money. The Lord did that. That drill bit story is so precious to me because I said to the Lord, Lord, it was borrowed. It was borrowed. You know where the drill bit is. Give me back the drill bit. And in the most miraculous way with a 60-cent item. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the big things and the big... I'm talking about the 60-cent drill bit. I could not believe that the God of heaven got off his throne, came down, looked through the grass, found the drill bit with his fingers, put it on top of the drill in the most obvious way that it could not possibly have landed that way. Or, I mean, just it was impossible. I lost it over here in the grass. Here the drill bit is over here on the concrete, on its side, the drill, on its side. And there, when the Holy Spirit said, go back and see, the drill bit is facing straight up. I couldn't believe it. Guys, this is who we serve. God does stuff like this. The helper will help you find things. You know, for me, I learned some lessons in that story and ones like it. And I just want to encourage you, stop losing things alone. You're not alone. You are not alone. He sees right where that missing thing is. Whether he shows you or doesn't, he knows right where it is every time. Every time. Stop losing things by yourself. You are not by yourself. You have someone to help you, and you just happen to have someone to help you who really knows where it is. Not like your friend who's helping you look, and they're just as, you know, do-he-does you. They don't know where it is. God knows exactly where that thing is. Stop losing stuff by yourself. Lose it with God. Second, have that recognition. He's right there. He sees you. He sees you at all times, and he has great eyesight, and his eyes are there with you. Get God more involved in your day. You know, I think this teaching has such a powerful daily application, if we'll actually embrace it, that we can get God involved in our daily activities. I mean, where is something in a video game? Find something on Minecraft. I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit can show you where it is. The Holy Spirit can show you where something is anywhere. He knows. Driving down the road and you're looking for a gas station. Lord, where's the gas station? You know, the Lord can show you where things are. And I think that he wants to. And I want for you guys to take this to heart, because there's probably times every single day where we could engage the Holy Spirit this way. I bet you every single day. Where's that worship document? You know, where's that chord chart? Where's that thing? Where's my wedding ring? Where, I mean, just asking the Holy Spirit. You're in a grocery store. Lord, where's the soap? What if the Lord would tell you where the soap is? You know, what if there's one roll of toilet paper left in the store, but it's in a weird spot? It's not on the toilet paper roll aisle. It's over in the produce section underneath the apples. And then the Holy Spirit's like, go to the apples. And there it is! I mean, let's engage the Holy Spirit. Let's believe him that he actually knows where everything is. Guys, this makes God so real. It makes life more fun. It makes you more prayerful. It increases your faith. And here's what happens. When you see God give you a drill bit, your faith level goes from here to through the roof. And you can believe for bigger things because you saw God give you a drill bit. I want to tell you that story, more than most, boistered my faith because of how overtly impossible it was. And I knew it. I saw it. And I was astounded. I was stopped in my tracks. That this is the most profound miracle maybe I'd ever experienced to that point. I couldn't believe it because I knew exactly what had happened, and it was totally outside the realm of all possibility. Guys, engage the Lord, and then let's grow our faith and keep reaching. And when you experience those disappointments, push delete on that thing and move forward, and let's believe God again. Amen?
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.